It's a wonderful thing to, it's actually a privilege to be able to lead the church and just be a shepherd in God's church. One of the disadvantages is just not knowing everybody. So it's nice to see faces that I do know, and it's great that you've come. And I'm trusting that it'll be worthwhile for you, that what we're going to look at and share. You know, I know that the preaching of the word isn't about the preacher. I know I'm now sort of telling you something that I've struggled to really grapple with and all the rest. But God's word is just God's word. It's been here through the ages. It's a very powerful, beautiful reality. So let's look to the word together. So I'm going to be looking at Colossians 2 and going back to verse 6 and 7, 8. So if you've got a Bible there, it's always good to actually have a Bible and bring it to church. Yeah, we can also look at it over the projector. But I'm going to pray for myself and for you before we start, even in line with David's prayer. Lord, we want to be children this afternoon. And Father, I ask for the freedom of being childlike and to hear your word in our spirits and our hearts. Lord, I ask for creativity. And Lord, for even your spirit to come through what we do and what we say and even what we think in the next 20 minutes. So Lord, would you have your way by the power of your spirit? And everyone says, amen. All right, so looking at Colossians 2. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, the ESV version. The NIV says, so continue to walk in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, I focused on the so walk in him and the rooted part, really the foundations that we received in Christ in the beginning and how those foundations continue right the way through into our lives. And it's relational foundations, and we never outgrow some things. And repentance is one of them, and receiving forgiveness of sins another. We never outgrow turning to God. Repentance is turning away from, but more importantly, turning to the Lord and discovering him. And that's an incredible thing to discover God and to know him and to find him. I remember that moment when I was about 17 and my eyes got opened up for the first time, and I'd been around religion. I'd been to church a few times, and my eyes opened. And seeing is incredible. Seeing God makes the difference. Otherwise, all this behavior, this really is crazy. 80 people coming on a Sunday afternoon, worshiping someone they cannot see, and believing something that's not proven fully in some ways, and yet it really is real for us. So it's quite a mystery if you have... Maybe, and you're not a believer, this can be mysterious. But trust me, it's very real. So tonight I want to focus on the building up part. So let me go back to verse 7. Rooted and built up in him. And I'm sure that this also includes how God builds his church. So I want to speak about being built up in him, but how it relates to your relationship with the church. So go with me to Acts 2, one of my favorite scriptures as well. And Acts 2 verse 38, we see that out of repentance, they turned to the Lord. You'll find it soon. He didn't know about Acts 2, 38. But you'll see that there was a radical turning to the Lord. And out of that, out of discovery of God, out of this great encounter with God, the scripture says in verse 42, they devoted themselves. Carry on a little bit further so we can see it. I don't want to confuse everybody. So 38, go to 39. Okay, no, bear with us. Just trust me, it's there. They had an encounter with the Lord out of that repentance. Look at verse 39, whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Can you imagine the, I think we see this thing through religious glasses. Can you imagine the reality of encountering God himself? For a Jewish person who God was sort of trapped away and in heaven, and they knew God only through the law, but yet God by spirit literally is poured out over them and they encounter the Lord. That's a very radical thing. Without going down a rabbit trail, let me just quickly look down this little pathway for you. But I've been in moments where God walks into a place. I'm talking when it's like, you know, God's presence is here. We know that God is everywhere. But have you ever been in a place where the Lord comes and then he comes again and then he comes another level? It's a very wonderful thing and a scary thing. I've been in moments where grown men can't stand, they're strong men, can't stand the presence of God. It's like the presence of God is so wonderful and fearful that people will run out of a building, literally run, or dive on their faces, or scream because of the reality of something that they didn't know is real comes. That's something else, huh? I've been in places where like 2,000-3,000 people encounter God in a way that's not normal. It's a very interesting response. They had an abnormal encounter with God. Initial encounter. And out of that encounter, the scripture says they devoted themselves. Look at verse 42 with me. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. Not in my notes, but I'm wondering if they saw something in the resurrected Christ who died for them and rose again that is so powerful and so devotional and saw the shed blood of God himself and just how God did this whole thing. And out of that, we see this word devotion. Devotion. What does it mean for you? Well, for me, it speaks of passion. Devotion, doing something with passion. Devotion is life. Judy would be doing the right thing over a long period of time with or without heart. Duty would be just the right thing to do. Passion is I want to do this. Passion is visible. It's tangible. It's a mark of how we build. Yeah, we've been speaking about building well with a few. Well, building well would be a mark of passion. My daughters have recently joined CrossFit, quite a revelation for me. And they had only been there for 45 minutes and they came back CrossFit evangelists, telling us and Lorna, my beloved wife, that this is such a good thing. And totally excited about it. There was the mark of passion. You could feel it. They wanted to go back. There's this energy when it comes to passion. Not only are they willing to suffer the pain of CrossFit, but they saw the reward of it. Passion, devotion, sees the why. It knows why it's doing what it's doing. It's not just being disciplined. Discipline is valuable, but can be a very low form of love. Imagine if Lorna felt, beloved, that the foundation of my love for her is discipline. Now, she wants to know that I'm devoted, that I can navigate the paths of life and still hold her in my heart. Devotion. Discipline. Discipline has a place. You know, discipline to come home for supper. Discipline to remember certain important days and events. But devotion is different. And that's what God's looking for, is devotion. Devotion's a very powerful thing. I'm going to tell you a story, okay? But I want to warn you, I can lose you in the story. And it's going to be very hard for me to take the story and bring it back to this message. So I'm also at risk here. But I want to teach you something as I tell you the story and yet make the story relevant to what I'm teaching you. You with me? Okay, I'm preparing you for this. So, I've enjoyed being a businessman for many years now. almost 20 years. And it's been a very educational, wonderful journey. And I've learned a lot. But it started somewhere. And I'm going to tell you some of my starting points and some of my foundations of being a working man. My uncle opened up a door for me at this tire retread factory at the bottom of town. And it wasn't a very desirable place to go and work, but the door got opened and I had to go and work. I'd finished school. I needed to do something. And it's a long story, but I chose not to go to university because I wanted to preach in the schools. But in the meantime, I needed to do something, and I needed to pay my way. And so I went to this factory to go and be a factory worker in helping this tire retread company do its work. And so they gave me this tool, a knife-looking tool, and they said to me, here's a spinning wheel. We want you to take all these tires, and we want you to take off all the unnecessary thread and all the pieces of rubber that shouldn't be there. We want you to do that for the whole day. Now, it's a very hard job to do from starting at 7. Your first break's at just before 10. Then you have a 20-minute tea break, and then you do it until lunchtime. Then you have a lunch break, and then you do it until the next tea break, and then at 4 o'clock you're free to go home. 2 pairs of gloves, and there I was on my way. The first hour I did pretty well, but trust me, it is hard, hard work to hold something with a big tire spinning and you taking off all these treads. You know what is interesting for me? It didn't cross my mind once to sharpen the tool they gave me. Interesting. It's like all I was focused on was, when's tea break coming? I didn't once think, how could I benefit the company that I work for who pays me and maybe try and get 2 tires on there or maybe get a different tool to be more productive? It wasn't even in my thinking. And often as Christians, try to tie the two up here, I'm going to go back to the story, but we don't really realize why we're here. Now, let me tell you what I've learned in 20 years or more of working. And I think this has been a better way for me to have been in my first place of employment. And I think I would have actually have enjoyed it more instead of just going from tea break to lunch break to home time to shower. And if you had said to me, actually, Grant, there was more for you to do than what you did, I would have gone, my goodness, you don't know how hard I've worked. This is what I would have done. I would have sharpened the tool. I would have looked at ways of how to be more productive. Why? Because they're paying me to be productive. And my work is to actually add value to the company as a whole. And if I was thinking that way, I would have been quite careful in how I use my time and at least try to better what I'm doing. You know, if I'm doing 20 tires between start time and tea time, can I move it to 30 tires? And can I have some form of, I'm going somewhere in this? I want to risk a bit with you guys. Let me just tell you some things here. This sounds like very not church, but trust me, who you are, how you work, everything you do, if you're at school, we're developing ourselves all the time. Some of us are wasting those opportunities like I wasted that year. But we all have an opportunity to sharpen our skills. We all have an opportunity to be developed by adding to the whole. We all have opportunities in life. You know, the Ecclesiastes, I'm quite surprised by this, says that, that he who... I'll put it in normal language. He who chops a tree and doesn't sharpen the axe is unwise because he has to work harder. Even the Bible knows that it's better to work smarter than just harder. And we thought that Stephen Covey was the brilliant mind behind, you know, work smarter, harder. But Ecclesiastes says work smarter, not harder only. It encourages good hard work, but there he's saying sharpen the axe. And it says wisdom will make you succeed. And so I wanted to encourage all of you, especially if you're here, yeah, what does it look like for you to sharpen your knife or your axe? What does it look like for you to be someone who constantly is developing? Because I tell you, the fruit of a guy that sharpened his tool, if I was that guy, who looked for the good of the whole, this would have been the fruit. Firstly, he'd have been more productive. And when you're faithful in the present and you're faithful in today and you actually are fruitful, it opens up tomorrow. So firstly, I would have been fruitful in that situation and I would have been had more opportunity. I don't think once they ever thought of me as someone that could possibly move them forward as a manager or someone at a position. Why? Because I was doing the bare minimal for the maximum reward. Thirdly, is I would have had the sense of meaning in this thing. I would have had a sense of accomplishment. Can you imagine if by the end of the year I was doing 40 tires before tea time and I had really learned to maximize how I benefit that business? You know what comes out of that? A sense of, you know what? I have contributed. I have grown as a person. And there's meaning in what I do. There's self-respect. Let me tell you what, self-respect is a very important thing. Even if you're at the bottom of the ladder, when you do something well, there's a sense of respect, and that's a good thing. It's a God thing. Colossians says that it's even the lowest of us, when we do something unto the Lord, the scripture says that God recognizes it. I'm gonna move away from here. I just want to encourage all of us, school people, those selling Porsches, our lawyer friend and our running friend, what does it look like for you to sharpen the axe? What does it look like for you to actually move forward in your life, have a sense of respect and a sense of God in that, which opens up the doors for tomorrow? So in the same way, this is true in the working world. It's the same in the world of the church. When you're here just to fulfill your duty, and if you think coming to church is what actually required of you, you're like me missing the mark in my first place of employment. Actually, there's a why you're here. There's a great why. And knowing why you do what you do is so important in fleshing out your devotion. Let me tell you, church is God's idea. God's idea. This is, you know what, often people, I've heard people say that's an organization with its own mandate and its own needs, and that's what it is. God invented the church. He created the church. It was His idea from the beginning. It's a privilege for you to be part of the church. In the same way, unless you recognize that being in the church, there's no other way for you to have a full revelation of who God is. No other way for you to come into you who God has called you to be outside of the church. You'll have a wrong relationship with her. None of us have the full revelation of truth. We only find it together. But it takes a relationship of devotion. Why am I saying that? Because I think you can be here and not be here. I think you can be about duty and you're not well connected. There's something about being well connected, that the benefit that you bring to us and to the Lord and to yourself is yours. If you're not well connected, you will see what we're doing differently and there won't be that sense of passion. There won't be that sense of, I know why I'm here and I'm doing this because I want to do it. You lose your why. You're like me. You're surviving. You're just going through the motions. There's something about the reward being rightly related to the church. Two more things. Destiny. The church only comes into our own when you are in your own. We only come into our own when you're doing the part that you're meant to do. And when all of us do what we're meant to do, you can come into your own, if that makes sense. There's something about we only please and fulfill our purpose through the church. Just a thought, I've got some good news for you. If you're really devoted, it doesn't mean you do all things. Devotion means that you find your place in the church and you serve with all your heart. I was reading in Ecclesiastes recently that God will not only judge evil things, but secret good things that no one knows about. Can you imagine if in responding to this word tonight, you're going, God, how can I love you and be who you've called me to be in your church and be devoted to her good? I wonder how that looks differently for us. I wonder if the church was made up of people with your level of devotion. How would she look? Would you be happy with the church like that? So let's imagine if everyone was as devoted as much as you are. Where would we be? And sometimes we're waiting for someone else to be devoted. But you can't wait for other people to be devoted. You must be devoted. There's a mark of devotion. Now, I don't want to go down the road of like what you should be doing, what you haven't been doing, and discourage you and tell you how bad you are. It's not going to be helpful for any of us. But let me just say this to you, that a devoted church is a beautiful place to be. Beautiful place. And the fullness of God is revealed in her. And the benefits of that devotion flow right over the church. I'll give you an example, even this afternoon. You could sense we enjoyed worship. But you can sense when hearts are one. And you can sense when hearts are, yeah, we're here, but we're singing songs. There's something about a devoted heart that opens something up, and the full reward of that devotion comes your way. I would say that for myself, being devoted to the Lord Himself and to the church has been the greatest factor, the foundation, the beginning and the end of anything that's good in my life. The success I've had in my life, the overcoming my own failures, my navigating my own cracks, and becoming someone that can contribute begins and ends with devotion to Christ and devotion to His church. I'm not sure there's any credibility in this, but I don't get paid to say that. This is the truth. From being taught how to work with money, from listening to men in cars and them giving me perspective of my life, from being corrected, from being encouraged. Where else do you find all these things? Where else do you find the living Spirit of God in a people, with a people that want your good and are willing to even hurt you or encourage you? When I say hurt you, I mean in the healthiest way possible. There's no other group of people like this on the earth. This is the greatest privilege that I think that God has entrusted to us, that we might belong to God and belong to each other. A wrong perspective can mess the whole thing up for you. So I'm going to ask you, how's God calling you to repent regarding the church tonight? How's God wanting to position you so that you can receive everything He has for you and for the church? You know, what's interesting is He never speaks just about you as an individual. He speaks about us. So how's God calling you? What does it look like for you to build well with a few, with a repentant heart and a devoted heart? I want to encourage you. Really do, every single one of you. It's a great thing to be devoted to the church. It's a great thing out of your walk with God to love her. Look at the people around you just for a moment. I feel like I'm trying to land this thing in. Just look at the people around you. Have a good look. These are the people that God has called you to love. And these are the people that God has called you to walk out your life together with. Make the most of it. Got one life to live. Land Rover said, Got one life, you must live it. But really, one life. Live it. Look it around you. I'm hoping, I said to Lorna a few days ago, I'm done. I was hoping for my own children, saying to Lorna, I want to leave them with a sense of conviction about the church. I want to make sure that they don't see all the things you can choke on. Because in every group of people, there's so many things. Yes, there are. So many things you can choke on and where you don't like this and you see the wood from the trees. But man, you must see the bride. See the gold in the rocks. See the real. I want them to have a conviction about church. Let's stand together.